Come on, Spike, sing it if you know it.
No. My favorite thing about Springsteen concerts is that they're like 4 hours long, and everybody pretends that they want to be at a concert for 4 hours. Nobody wants to be at a concert for 4 hours. Even an artist you love.
Yeah, no.
Give me a good hour 50, hour 30 maybe.
Play the hits.
Yeah, play the hits. Get out of there.
I mean, if you got enough hits and you're doing a good show.
2 hours maybe, but Springsteen 3+.
Yeah, because I'm imagining, but there's a like, there's probably an intermission in there somewhere,
no.
Right? No? Just keeps playing?
Just keeps playing.
Well, I need a break.
Yeah, how's he going to tire out? He was like, isn't he like 70 now?
74,
give me like a 30-minute break. Yeah. Yeah, dude, just.
I don't know, man. This is a little much. It's a WIP afternoon show. Spike, Ike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Talking about Topper, how much blame does he deserve? I think he's getting too much. I think it's the players, and basically, I think it's sort of who they are. And that is hard for people to accept.
Well,
yeah, and you do keep saying it, and it does just hit me in the deep gut.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
What, that it's who they are?
Yeah.
Not that they're bad, just that they're...
What are you saying?
Pretty
man?
Good. I'm saying that even, you know, it's funny. I spent all that time saying blah to like this is it's just baseball. It's just baseball. It's just baseball. But you're gonna have the first 2 months they had things even out, and I think the mistake was our preseason stuff of 96, 97, because that's what we were saying before this evening.
Yeah.
Season even started.
Yeah, you guys bullied them into trying to start fast.
Well, I
bullied them into trying to start fast.
Bullied them?
Yeah. I think it was necessary.
Yeah, do not put it on us.
Well, would you rather have...
Well, they're the ones who said they want to win the division.
Know. Yeah,
I know. They're probably going to win it just in excruciating fashion.
I don't know if I'd go probably anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they're only seven and a half games out of a playoff spot.
Out of not making the playoffs,
yeah.
You mean? Well, that's terrifying. Scott in Newtown. You're on WIP. What up, Scott?
Yo, guys. Yo, dude, Springsteen, I could do without him always. Spike, did you ever go to the Rock the Bells tours in Randall's Island? It was Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang Clan.
No, I know Rock the Bells, but I never went to any of those shows. The only time I saw Rage three different times, one Lollapalooza, one on their own, but never, and then one in Madison Square Garden, but never saw Rock the Bells.
All right, I just figured maybe it was something you did. It was funny because Wu-Tang, Rage got booed off the stage for Wu-Tang, which was surprising to me. But whatever, man. Like, with the Phillies, like, I think you're right. They are who they are. But, like, who they are is a first-place team. And, like, as frustrated as I am, it's like, come on, man. All day on the radio, I freaking hear everyone saying that they're dead and they don't have a chance. Like, the beginning of the season wasn't just, like, 100% luck. Like, everything was clicking, I realized. But to act like they're dead is just... I don't know, it seems asinine to me. Like, they have the second-best odds to win the World Series, so clear. And I know all the odds are about the same in the top 10. But, like, we're still there, man. It's just so freaking frustrating. And, like, when it comes to Topper, I like the mentality of keeping it cool and keeping it calm. And, like, honestly, in my life, I try to do that, and it seems rewarding to me. But every once in a while, man, show some freaking fire and... Just show you're pissed off a little bit, maybe, you know? And, like, and also, like, when people call in and they're like, oh, he's driving a Cadillac. Well, he is driving a Cadillac. And the one thing that does show is, like, only getting 2 RBIs off a pinch hit all season. Like, that is kind of just being complacent and just, like, letting the team run the team, you know? So.
Baseball's also like, changed, though. I mean, like, some other teams have, like, more platoon options. Like, it's not, like, where they had a pitcher batting ninth. You know what I mean? Like
there's less opportunity to pinch hit now than there was. This is the thing I'm curious
about. But a team that scores over 600 runs should have more than...
Well, yeah, two RBIs.
Two
yes,
of them
yes, 100%.
Hitters, yeah.
The thing I'm curious about, I'm curious to ask you guys, is, all right, Topper, Rob Thomson, personality type, is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think part of the reason they've had success the last couple of years is because of who he is, especially with this roster. If going crazy, getting yourself thrown out, flipping over a table, if it's not who he is, I wonder if he forced it, if the team would just look at him sideways. You know, I wonder if because he is who he is, maybe he doesn't not that he doesn't have it in him. I'm sure he could fake it. But I wonder if it even makes a difference to anyone. Right. Because they would know that it is not who he is.
It's like Doug getting pissed off.
Right. That doesn't. It's just not who he is.
Like when he called Angelo?
Yeah. Well, that was.
A pissed off.
Yeah.
Pissed off, Angelo.
Yeah.
What about Doug? Pissed off.
Yeah. So
I just think, like, everybody has it in them occasionally. Like, I'm so good to my boys, right? My two boys, I'm a good dad. I do all the things. I'm the most fun dad. But, like, then there's a time that they know that dad can get freaking mad, you know? I just think, like, you got to put a spark somewhere. And I do think the bats will come alive. And I think the number one thing to blame is top four hitters. Like, every season, like, when we talk about the trade deadline and it's like, oh, we can add one more bat. Like, one more bat's not going to do anything if our best guys can't hit the freaking ball. So it's, like, really up to these four guys in the top of the lineup. And
well, the question is, Scott, whether these four guys are good enough. And they're going to have to – thank you for the call. They're going to have to decide on that at some point when they're thinking about what they're putting their money into. Because if every year we are terrified that the best hitters on the team are going to go cold for three straight weeks at the wrong time, potentially, you might have to ask yourself, have we built the team the right way, and have we given the money to the right guys? Because you can't spend that much money on your lineup and just sort of say, well, this is what they do every year. Well, then why are those the guys that we're paying? Like, why are we putting together a team of all streaky hitters? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you have to say to yourself, if they do it every year, why am I expecting it to be different at any time?
Well,
you know?
I would say that it's a little unfair because I don't think we can take the World Series alone and the games six and seven of the NLCS and say that's who they are. What about all the clutch hits they had to get them to those moments? I remember the big home runs that Bryce Harper hit in the NLDS against the Padres, against the Braves. Look at Bryce Harper's numbers against the Braves in the 8 playoff games that he's had against the Braves in the last 2 years when they've had the best team in baseball. You got to remember, when they got to the NLCS in the World Series, they weren't the favorite. They took down teams that were better. They needed big hits from Kyle Schwarber, from Rhys Hoskins in 2022, last year Bryce Harper, the year before Bryce Harper. So I think it's a little unfair to take the fact that they got cold in the World Series, particular batters. Trey, we look at that series against the Diamondbacks and Trey Turner stopped hitting. What about what Trey Turner was doing leading up to that? Look at his batting average leading up to that.
I agree, but it might be the reason why you never have a team that you think is the best team in baseball, and it might be why if you're building around these guys every year.
Because I would say this,
you're going to be crossing your fingers around playoff time.
So I would say this. Go ahead, Jack.
But aren't you going to be doing that regardless? Like, I don't know if you can build a flawless lineup in today's baseball.
You can't.
Like,
so here's my point to what you're saying. We would all agree. The Padres 2 years ago had a pretty damn good lineup.
Soto, Machado.
Yes.
Tatis. He was hurt.
Was that the year he was hurt?
Yeah.
Still, two pretty good players. Okay, maybe that's not the greatest example. Dodgers have had a good lineup for 3 years straight, 4 years straight. Seem like they have one every year. Yankees have had a good lineup. I only say this to say those hitters must have gone cold, too, in the postseason.
Well, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, like, famously last year, I don't think they got a hit against the Padres or against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, so like they must have gone cold too during that time.
And you still take Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
Yes.
Right, but Mookie Betts is better than any player on this team.
I know, but the point is that he still has the ability to go cold and the Dodgers go home.
Any player does.
Yes.
But what I keep hearing about this team is, especially when they were going cold and I was like, this is bad, is they go through these things. They go through these things.
Yeah.
So it definitely is more with them than I would say another roster that is this expensive.
Their biggest thing is they go through these periods where they start chasing. And that's why they try to rectify that all offseason of like, we got to get guys that don't chase as much.
But then
they went right back to it. They tried.
They did it for a little while.
Yes. They might have screwed up. It's why Castellanos got off to a slow start. It's why Stock got off to a slow start. And it permeated. It stayed the whole year.
I just think at some point, you have to, if they do not succeed this year, you have to look at what you're spending your money on and ask yourself, well, sure, is this the best allocation, yeah, of resources? That's even taking away the mistakes. Let's take away the $16 million for Taiwan Walker and the $8 million for Whit Merrifield. Take those aside and say, are we spending our money the best way we can spend our money, specifically on the lineup? I just think it's a question they may need to ask themselves. So, speaking of a question, why did the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl in 2018 decide to run a play that had Nick Foles as a wide receiver catching a pass? Nick Foles was on Chris Long's podcast and explained that very thing.
Right before this, so there was a timeout. I don't know if you remember watching us all week in practice, but we had a speed option from the shotgun.
Yes.
And every time we butchered it, and it was awful. That was actually the play that was called. And then we called a timeout. And I ran over to the sidelines and asked for Philly Philly. To this day, I have no clue why I asked for Philly Philly. Because it's Philly special. I've thought NFL films, like, and now with artificial intelligence, I know that you can create voiceovers and stuff. So part of me that thinks that could have happened, but in reality, my brain was just probably in a weird state. When Doug and I talked about this, because we were going to rep this against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, but we decided not to, and I just threw a touchdown to Alshon and made it easy, got to save the play. We were going to run this second half to go up by 2 scores,
mm-hmm,
not first half to get up in general. And Doug trusted me enough because he knew me enough to know, like, yeah, Nick is feeling this, let's execute this. Because he could have overrode this play call, but yeah, he pauses and he said, let's do it. And then we run this. And I remember going up there, you know, we had a shift. We had to have like some acting that took some time, like right here. And Lane was the trigger for Kels to snap the ball to Corey. And then, you know, Trey makes a amazing throw. I mean, people don't realize, like, Trey made an awesome throw that made it easy for me. But I was just worried about the DN right here. But the second he went down and I paused and I was out, I was just like, look this ball all the way in and just catch it and tuck it and score. And I didn't realize what this play would be for the city of Philadelphia or even the NFL. I just realized, like, man, this play worked to put us up on the Patriots going into halftime.
It's amazing to me to think about, what if they ran it against the Vikings and they didn't have it against the Patriots, right? Like,
right,
if they had run it 2 weeks before,
yeah,
or 2 weeks or 1 week? 2 weeks.
2 weeks before, yep.
Just imagine what happens. They run it there in a game that they were going to win anyway or something. I don't know. Think about how history may be different,
yeah,
if they do not run that play in the Super Bowl.
That's why they say fate is something you just don't tempt, and
yeah,
things don't happen by mistake. They happen for a reason. That was just – that was a strange year, man. It just was. It was a year that came out of nowhere. You know, you put that roster together – I can look at that roster on paper and be like, dude, that's a 10-6 team. Right? That was still 16 games back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can look at that roster on paper and be like, that's a 10-6 team, and hopefully we make the playoffs. I mean, it was Wentz's second year. I wasn't the biggest Alshon fan. Remember when we signed him as a free agent?
I remember.
And I was wrong. They won the Super Bowl, and they would not have won it without him. So, but I'm just saying, I wasn't all that excited about the roster when it came together. We got LeGarrette Blount late. I can remember in training camp and in preseason games, they weren't giving the ball to LeGarrette Blount in a way we thought they should, which was a north-south sort of way. They kept trying to run these stretch plays to the outside with him, and he looked slow. And everybody was like, man, what are we going to do? This is going to be our running back when we go into the season. So there were so many question marks around the team. And that's where the Doug stuff came in, about Jim Schwartz.
Yep.
You know, trying to backstab him for the job. Like, there was a lot of question marks around that team going into the season. And that thing just slowly built, man. And Wentz, I didn't see that coming from him that year. And, man, once it got rolling and snowballing, it was a magical ride. It's part of the reason why I felt confident in saying I think they can go win with Nick Foles. Like, I felt like they had this thing had snowballed enough. There was enough evidence that as long as Nick don't screw this thing up, they could go to the Super Bowl and win it. I didn't say win it. I said go to the Super Bowl.
You know, you talk about Schwartz. I honestly think Doug could have gotten fired the year before. I forget what game it was. It was like 2/3 of the way through the season, and everything was rolling the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. And if then the Bengals game, they like quit on him.
Yeah, and I forget which game it was, but I actually just thought if he lost that one game, he gets fired. And then the Super Bowl season probably,
yeah,
never happens. It's amazing, the little twists of fate that have to happen.
Well, we're a 61-yard field goal away from starting off 1-2.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot. But yeah. The Bengals game in 16, that's when everyone kind of looked like they quit.
Yep.
Howard asked him post-game, do you believe that your players quit on you, or everyone's out there trying their hardest? He said, I don't. I don't think everyone's trying their hardest. And they came back, and I think that was when
they almost beat Baltimore.
They went for two.
They went for two.
They went for two.
Yep.
And it was that moment where it was like they still play for them.
Yep.
And that was massive.
Yeah. Yep.
And that, man, that Vikings game, I remember who was it? Who was the guy I yelled at from Minnesota? Oh, he wasn't from Minnesota. He was an NFL Network guy. He called us that week, and he said he had more faith that Jacksonville would go to New England and beat the Patriots than the Eagles beating the Vikings at home.
Oh, yes. You lost
that
it.
When I snapped it. Yes. And he was our guest. He was like our expert guest.
You don't care.
Well,
yes.
I just felt like that was total disrespect.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, it was just totally being disrespectful.
We will get to Jack's true feelings on the Phillies with the High Hopes.
I forgot all about that.
The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report right
now.
You
were reminiscing on the good times.
Yeah.
Let's bring it right down.
Well, speaking of good times, we're going to make gold standard good times here in Philadelphia. We always hear gold standard. We think bad, right? We think about something that somebody shouldn't have said. John Ashdale, the Carzar, the team over at Colonial are going to give you a gold standard experience that you're going to leave a smile on your face. Fast, easy, and better. Fast, over 200 vehicles in stock, so they're going to have whatever you need. Worried about price? They have got over 80 brand new Hyundais on the lot, under $30,000, and they're going to make it easy with financing, as low as 0% on select 2024s. They're going to give you $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. And you drive a brand new Hyundai off the lot at Colonial, everyone comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Shop online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. We have a huge announcement coming up in 15 minutes on WIP, but now let's talk a little baseball with Jack.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So I think part of the reason why I'm so, like, down today, and part of the reason why I snapped on Lawrence in the first segment,
yeah, it was rough.
Is that for the first time,
uh-oh,
I really think they're cooked, and like I keep looking at them on offense, and it's like I think that they're just so lost and they don't know how to get out of this thing. And I mentioned in the first segment or second segment, like they're breaking out the curveball machine. Like this seems
like a panic move.
This was the quote, okay?
Yeah.
The Phillies had regular on-field pregame sessions earlier this season with the curveball machine. They have done less work with it on the field in the past 5 weeks, although Thompson said most of the hitters see off-speed pitches in the underground cages before games. But before the Phillies boarded their late-night charter flight to Missouri, Thompson had already decided something. The team would hit on the field against a curveball machine at Kauffman Stadium before Friday's game. First off, why would you go away for it for 5 weeks? You know, like, that's mildly concerning.
Yeah, by the way, the 5 weeks.
Why would you go away from it?
Right, like, the last 5 weeks,
they've been the worst team in baseball the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, but the players obviously don't like doing it.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I agree. That's why he went away from it.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, like, they've been awful against spin for those 5 weeks?
Yep.
Like those 5 weeks? Like, what are we doing? It feels like, and the fact that he's saying we're doing it, was that a Kevin Long decision? Does Kevin Long not like it? Or then he's just like, no, I'm overriding you? Like, that's worrisome. And then, like, even listening to Trey after the game last night, like, it almost feels like that they're lost. Here's Trey Turner talking about what's happening with the top of this lineup.
Just got to get it rolling. I think all of us in general, it's kind of weird that we're all struggling at the same time. Not only when you have a, you know, good lineup, some guys here or there, but it's you know, kind of weird that a lot of us are there.
So how do you look at that? Is that like a concern for you guys with 35 games to play? Or?
I don't think it's a concern. It's more weird, you know, for us. I don't think it's anything, you know, we're necessarily doing wrong. We're preparing. We do all our stuff we normally do. We're, you know, having fun. We got a good mindset. We're just not clicking. And, you know, there's still time left. Obviously, we want to play well. But, you know, it's starting to get to that, you know, point in the season where it's play well or go home type deal. And I don't think we're under any stress or pressure or anything like that. But more so, we just want to play well. We know what we're capable of, and we expect it out of ourselves.
Well, I'm glad they're having fun still. And well, it's weird.
And what? Yeah, the weird thing. I guess what worries me about it is that like they've had what we have thought as moments. Like they had the Marsh catch, the miracle catch against Seattle. It's like, there it is. That could be something. They had the Schwarber Grand Slam. And it's, every time it's like, there it is, there it is, there it is. Then they revert right back. Mm-hmm. And the thing that is so concerning for me about how they're playing right now is that it looks to me like a team like just hoping they win rather than believe they win. And, like, I just, you look at their faces and they just look so defeated. And I just, they look like last year's Eagles, where they got to the point where it's like, they're not going to tackle, they're not going to be good against the blitz, they're going to, and you ram your head against the wall, like, how is this happening? But I have the same feeling watching the Phillies right now as I had at the end of last year's Eagles season.
So you feel like they might be cooked?
I think they might be cooked. Like, I thought the Eagles were cooked last year, and just watching them, like, I think they're cooked.
Well, I certainly hope that's not the case.
Obviously, like, and I say that with, like, I obviously love the Phillies. Like, I would love to be wrong. Like, I want to be wrong. That's how I feel right now, and I've felt it for a little bit. But like, I feel like I keep trying to lie to myself and say like, well, their record this, their record, and I just.
Well, I am.
I know, and that's why you're here.
I'll pick up the baton for you. My goodness, go get a drink.
I wish.
Seriously, man. But I will tell you this, though. Standing eight count right now. We're at a standing eight count.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're at a standing eight
count. It's close,
right now.
Man.
Yeah, man. Well, we're at a standing eight count.
Been a lot of body blows. Yeah. For about two months here.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of.
The quote from Trey was terrible.
Yeah. Well, and I know that's his personality, that's his demeanor. I'm never going to be. I can't. That I can't roll with. I can't roll with the poor me, the somber voice. You're in part seeming like you want a lifeline thrown to you to like, don't beat us up too much. We're trying. We're trying. We just haven't figured it out. It's weird. Don't give up on us. I don't. At some point. Somebody has to get pissed. Stop tweeting me, seriously, about, you know, this isn't football. You can't get all mad and nobody gets passionate up. But shut the hell up. You ever think that's part of the issue here? Then maybe somebody should get pissed off.
I agree.
You ever think that's part of the issue? Oh, no, this is baseball. You got to take your time. You know, the manager can't show any emotion. Players don't call a players-only meeting. That stuff doesn't work. Let the guys figure it out. Well, guess what? Rob Thompson is taking your advice. He's letting the guys figure it out, and look where we are. Look where we are. So until we actually start getting pissed off where Spike was at a month ago, I'm tired of making excuses. Like, that's what I'm tired of doing. I can give many, many excuses, but I'm at the point of being mad at the team for letting me down, for disappointing, for not rewarding us for our faith, our consistency of continuing to support the team. See, when you want to continue to support the team and show how great of a fan you are by being supportive and not holding them accountable, guess what they do? They don't feel the pressure and the need to have to go out there and get it done. Because you know why? We're going to love them anyway. We're going to love them anyway. We don't do that with anybody else. We don't do that with the Eagles. We don't do that with the Sixers. We don't do that with anybody else. But for some reason, Sun in the Fun Time, this team, we don't get to a point where we're just tired of it. Well, I've given it long enough. It's August going on September. It's going on September. It's 35 games left. Season's going to be over with the first week into the postseason, and then what? We'll just slyly move over to the Eagles, and I know what we'll do. We want to take all our anger and frustration out on the Eagles because they aren't scoring 30 points a game. They're only scoring 27 a game. But we'll really be mad that the Phillies didn't actually live up to our expectations. But since we like those guys so much, we got to get pissed at Nick Sirianni. We got to get pissed at Jalen. Come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing here? We're talking about holding each other accountable. It's time for us to hold ourselves accountable. All right.
I got no problem with that. Yeah.
I'm tired of the whole. It's relaxed. It'll be okay.
It's not okay. It's been almost 3 months.
Yes.
It's not okay now. And the only other thing, because we have a big announcement coming up at 4 that we have to get to,
uh-huh.
is not only do we want passion out of them, but I do think there is something to when they have those moments. They just think to themselves, all right, everything will be fine now.
Yeah.
And they don't do those little things that they were doing in those first couple of games post-meeting where they were – you have to concentrate. Like, not you're not always going to be on a hot streak, and you have to battle through this. And it's going to be harder than it normally is when you're good because it's not going well. And it doesn't seem like they have that commitment to those little things that they need to get through this stuff. All right.
This is trending worse than the Eagles.
Yeah.
Much longer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Eagles season just, they couldn't go much longer.
Right, yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Who knows how long it could have gone.
Yes. The Twitter question is brought to you by Marks Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Is the criticism of Rob Thompson fair or unfair? Fair 69%, unfair 31%. We need to award a...
I know.
Do we not have enough choice for?
I mean, no, it was only Chuck. I think we got that.
Who else from the first hour?
Well, Yoshi.
Those are the only two. We got to go two.
Only two submissions that we've gotten so far.
That's my fault for not going to enough calls.
Up, Spike. Yes. Come on, man.
Yeah, we got a bunch. All right, coming up next, huge announcement along with the Mount Rush 4. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.